Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B, and I am back in Fort Lauderdale. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, and the temperature is right where it should be, back in sunny Florida. However, today I am going to be joined by someone from a little slightly north, someone who joined me at the IT Owners Compass that we had this past weekend in Chicago. He has had his business since January 2000, just a little bit after I started mine. He has been in IT for, I guess, going on 18 years now, CompTIA certified, Dell certified, Apple Consultants Network, and Freedom Voice certified specialist. If you were at the conference, you know I am talking about Jason Miller, owner and CEO of Unbound Digital. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Are you recovered?
Trying to get there. So it's been a long week and trying to catch up.
Yes, that's always the joy. Now, I mean, you have a little bit of a better situation than I do. You have techs that can cover for you.
Well, yeah, but there's always, you know, my role and things that I have to catch up with and, you know, help with the techs out when I get back with, you know, all kinds of different situations that may have happened while I was gone. So, I mean, nothing bad, of course, but, you know, just.
Of course.
Yeah.
And Rachel, she okay? She good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's catching up on some accounting and some of our marketing stuff. So, she's full speed ahead as well. So.
All right. Just so everybody knows, Jason's wife, Rachel, also joined us at the Compass. You know what? I think she carried the show.
I mean, you know, she's the big boss here. So, you know, I got demoted to middle management when we brought her on board, or at least that's what my techs tell me. You know, she's the big boss and now I'm middle management. So, don't know how that happened, but you know, that's kind of how it usually works in the world with the wife, right? So,
No comment here.
No comment. Yeah. Smart man. Yeah.
All right. So let's get down to it and talk about our recap of the convention. And I know that this isn't your first. So why don't we go back and start with, how did you first hear about the conference when it was called the
Basically heard about it. The first one actually in Canada, I heard about that, was trying to make it last minute and just couldn't end up making it due to work and, you know, cost of plane tickets to Canada was insane. Last minute, of course, if you booked in advance, it wasn't too bad, but kind of heard it on Mike Tech Show, Podnuts Pro, I think Matthew Rodella's, business marketing show, just kept hearing it all over the place. So of course went to the website and checked it out. That's kind of when I first heard about it. Then I finally was able to go last year in the Washington DC to the convention, a really awesome show. And then of course this year too. So,
yeah. So the marketing worked by listening to all the podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So normally, the people that I interview are participants in some way by just coming and being attendees. Last year you were an attendee. This year you got promoted.
Yeah, I got voluntold, whichever way it goes. Yeah, so I got to be a speaker and actually taught two workshops, and so that was pretty different change of pace. So,
how is it on the other side of the glass?
Stressful. So a lot of prep, and then of course a lot of craziness going on there last minute, trying to get the workshops all fit into one day. Timing and schedules and stuff like that got rearranged a little bit. So I had to cut a little bit out. So it was hard to cut, you know, 15 minutes out of a presentation you had ready to go, you know, on the spot. But, you know, hey, we did it and I think it went well. So,
yep. Well, I know that situation well.
Yeah.
So let's just do a little quick review for people that may not have listened to you. You were on a Podnuts Daily show a while back and people may not know your background and history. I mentioned you have your own shop, named Unbound Digital. Tell us just real quick about your history and your store there.
Yeah, sure. I started the business 2000 on the side. Used to be a mechanical engineer. That's why I got my degree in and went that route. Long story short, got laid off after a few different layoffs. I said, hey, forget this. I'm going to start my business up. luckily one of my on the side business customers decided to remodel their whole front office. And, you know, I had no money at the time. And so I basically worked for them 40 hours a week for about 3 months, made some really good money for 3 months. Kind of got money in my pocket to start. I had a job offer that didn't start till the next August, and this was December. So quite a few months away, and I decided, you know, just go full steam ahead, got the business started. Of course, it was slow go, you know, first couple of years made, you know, negative money. So that's never good. Many a times my wife told me you need to get a real job, you know, things like that in the beginning. So I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Finally 2005, we opened our new storefront, or first storefront rather, promoted residential and business, and kind of grew from there. Didn't hire our first employee till 2010. So that was our first technician. And then we kind of grown from there with businesses, and we've really pushed the business side of things. We do still have a retail shop, but we're the only person in our city that has a retail shop besides like a Best Buy or Office Depot. So that's the only reason we've kept it, because we do quite a bit of volume through it. But now we're probably 85% business, and the rest of it's, you know, in-shop stuff. And we've kind of separated it. So we got techs dedicated to in-shop and, you know, techs dedicated to the MSP side of things. So we're kind of almost two separate businesses in one building. So,
all right. So I have a question. This is way off script here.
Sure.
So you were married at the time you started your business.
Yes.
I was not. My soon-to-be wife was still out of state when I started mine. And I do remember I don't think she was quite as overt as your wife with saying, get a real job.
Oh, yeah.
But how did that go? I mean, what was scary in a sense for you in starting that business? And
I've kind of always had it on the side, and, you know, my buddies doing stuff. Even in high school, I was like, go computers, go like, you know, mechanical engineering. I didn't know which direction to go. I went one way and ended up the other. So, those college degrees, you know, you never use them. That's what everybody says, right? My wife, she was very supportive. Of course, I was working one of the engineering jobs at the time when we got married, went on cruise for a honeymoon, walked off the ship and quit my job. So, I mean, it, you know, start off the marriage right. You know, it's like, hey, I've got a job.
Gotcha.
You know, walk off. Yep. Hook, line, and sink. Yeah. So, that was a big leap. Luckily, you know, we were both, no kids at the time or anything. We just got married, of course. But so luckily we had no kids at the time. Just started marriage, started our new life, new rental house at the time, trying to make it on our own. We didn't have a lot of expenses. We didn't really owe for a lot. So that really helped out a lot. And she had a decent job at the time, making decent money. Of course that progressed over the years, and she supported me for several years in this job. So, it's been a good ride. So right. Now we don't have to worry about it. She's working full time with us now, and we both draw a salary off the business and, you know, make a decent wage. So.
All right. And that was the next step I was going, because like you, my wife now is working in my business. Now she didn't come and take over, at least not yet, but it was a transition for her to come down, see me working in my business. She did earn the lion's share for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere around 2008, as I was dumping techs, I brought her on, and she's been with me ever since. So.
Oh. Awesome. Awesome. She hasn't taken over yet. And that's why they do, you know?
Well, she's taken over outside the business.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Determines where the money goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just need her to take over operations, I guess.
Yeah. That's what my wife mainly does, is operations. I mean, I'm still the boss and tell people what to do and schedule things and all that. But I mean, I'm just more joking about it, but yeah, she's definitely a huge help in the business. So.
Okay. All right. Well, back to what we were supposed to talk about, and that is the IT Owner's Compass.
Yeah.
And in terms of the event from last year to this year, so I do like to ask people, you know, after last year, what were your thoughts coming into this year and expectations, and what were you hoping to get out of it? Even though you were going to be a presenter this year, did you still have expectations as an attendee?
Yeah. I was looking forward to an even bigger event. Of course, more people attended this event than the last one. I think we're looking for, you know, more energy and stuff like that. And definitely, satisfied all those needs and stuff. Had a few hiccups along the way, which, you know, with the venue and stuff like that, which, you know, yeah, you can't necessarily help, but things didn't line up properly, but, you know, it was solved and, got the right rooms and stuff like that. So changed up some schedules. So, you know, no big deal. It all flowed and went, and may not have been as smooth as possible, but I think both events were great. I took quite a few nuggets of information from both, and, you know, changing our business and what we're doing, you know, based off of each event where we're implementing new things we've learned. So I think it's definitely a plus.
So. All right. So from an attendee side this past year, did you get to attend any of the other session, the breakouts, or were there things that you pulled from maybe one of the vendor speeches on Saturday?
Yeah, of course, vendor speeches, we had quite a few of those. So that was pretty neat. A few of them were really interesting. You know, it seemed like they're talking to me. You know, it's like, hey, you need to do this in your business. You know, and of course, the breakout sessions, being, you know, doing two workshops, didn't get to attend all of them, but I did get to attend a couple, actually three. So, and all three of those were really good. I got to attend the HIPAA guys, FireLogic's workshop, and that was really awesome. And got to attend, my wife attended the dark web, you know, scans and stuff and like that. So we're looking into that and then some of the other stuff. So it's really awesome workshops. So.
Okay. Are you doing HIPAA now as part of your business?
Yeah, we actually have several medical clients. I think, you know, that's the area that we're not 100% in that we're trying to get there. You know, like any business, you can't do everything overnight. So we have, I don't know, probably 10, 11 medical practices and clients, you know, dentists and doctors and eye cures and people and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of a wide variety, not just medical only.
Right.
So we are in the process of implementing some new procedures and new things we're doing to, you know, help them maintain HIPAA, help us maintain, you know, HIPAA on our side and make sure our clients are getting the full, you know, full taken care of, fully taken care of.
So I'm going to dive in a little here. What things new are you talking about adding? Because I'm always curious what people are getting out of HIPAA to add to the stack.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I really saw and the thing that we've been struggling with for probably the past year is really risk assessments and how to do those things. Those things are always the, you know, the worst part of doing IT. You know, it's like you don't want to do it and, you know, it's like pulling teeth for your clients. You know, they don't want to do it either. So really found a really good vendor. You know, I can't speak to how well they are just yet because we're just now getting ready to do a webinar and some training on it. But the HIPAA Secure Now, which is what the FireLogic guy talked about in there. And it's kind of almost like a turnkey process for doing the risk assessment. So you go, you basically allow them to work with your client. You pay them basically one fee and depending on what size they are, there's two different fees. And then they do the risk assessment. And part of their requirement of working with you, which it should be, is they make you go through the whole risk assessment and everything too, because if you're going to be a BA, of course, you need to make sure you're supporting what you're saying you're going to do. So going through that whole risk assessment, make sure your business and your security is up to par, and that's part of their agreement. So we're getting ready to start that and go through that. I mean, we've kind of done that in the past or on our own doing the risk assessment, but we're going to redo everything and make sure that we're up to par with their standards. And, you know, they give you a lot of the templates, a lot of the paperwork, and walk you through a lot of it. So, I mean, it makes life super simple. You're not digging for all the paperwork and, you know, you make sure you change it up how you need it. But, you know, of course, you want to make sure your lawyer looks at it and make sure your BAs are up to par. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, that makes life super easy. That's one super nugget I kind of learned from the FireLogic guy in his workshop. So,
all right. I was interested because one of the things that you mentioned is being HIPAA compliant as much as you can yourself. I think that's one of the things that we as techs miss, where we're trying to force our customers to do all this stuff, but yet we don't do them ourselves.
Yeah.
I fill out several vendor assessments each year for the clients that I work for that they, if they have compliance, then I have to fill out a vendor assessment. And sometimes it's a pain in the butt, but for my HIPAA clients, I found I actually, you know, if it's going to be, you know, whatever HIPAA Secure, Breach Secure, or some other vendor, David Sims talks about Darner Carden and, you know, so I have a local company that they specialize in HIPAA consulting. So I actually made my customer work with them, took the pressure off me. Mm-hmm. Now I can say, okay, they'll do the risk assessment. They'll tell you what you need to do. And then I have my bucket list from that to do. So it takes a little pressure off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what this company does too. And then you basically get a little bit of commission from, you know, from the fee that the customer pays them. I mean, the customer deals directly with them, so it takes that pressure off and walks them through everything. But, you know, you're still kind of in control of the situation. And like the FireLogic guy said, he's like, you know, he walks in, does the risk assessment first. And that shows you, hey, you do need that, you know, UTM firewall device. You do need this. You do need to change this. So it's not only is it, you know, sometimes talking to customers, they're like, man, you want to spend, you know, $1,200 on a firewall. It's like, wow, you know, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, no, you need it, you know, so in order to be HIPAA compliant. But they don't see that until, you know, somebody else, a third party says, hey, you're not HIPAA compliant because you don't have the proper security in place. And, you know, that makes it a super easy sell. So if you walk in and do it first, you know, and then that eliminates a lot of the headache and you don't feel like a salesperson is trying to pitch stuff. You know, they're saying you need this.
Absolutely. And of course, it's easy to say, well, you can spend $1,200 now or you could spend $50,000 for a breach.
Yeah, or more. Yeah.
You know, so. $50,000 per incident per day. Let that add up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Firewall's a lot cheaper. So.
All right. So let's move on to, of course, I'm going to ask about Mike Michalowicz. My man.
Sure. Yeah.
Think of Mike. And first of all, let me go back. Had you read any of his books before you went to the...
I have not.
Okay. Have not. So you still haven't read any.
I'm not a guy to read a book. So the problem is I don't have time to read. Just one of those things. So I'm actually downloaded Audible and I'm listening to Profit First right now. And I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through.
Okay.
So I am listening to his books. Next one's probably going to be The Pumpkin Plan. So can I get them in that way since I'm not a reader? So.
Okay. What'd you think?
I thought it was very informative. You know, there's a lot of really good nuggets there that you can kind of hold on to. So just the whole explaining of how he eliminated his largest customer because it was taking up the most time and he was failing to, you know, take care of his, you know, his second largest customer. But eventually he turned that into his largest customer. So sometimes I think we... You know, as techs and as companies, like he was saying, you know, that we try and spend all of our time satisfying, you know, the squeaky wheel, you know, the customer just yells all the time and screams all the time and wants, you know, that, you know, 5-minute, you know, priority service, you know, and I think he really, really opened our eyes a lot to, you know, maybe that's not the customers for us. And, you know, as me and my wife was on the plane ride back, we were talking about a couple of customers. It's like, maybe we need to get rid of a few people. So, you know, it's like, the ones that are driving you up the wall, you know, if they're not worth the time, I mean, yeah, you're making good money off of them, but is it really worth your time to cater to that customer, and are your other customers suffering from doing that? So,
well, it's funny because even before I knew he was coming to the conference, I had read his Pumpkin Plan and had already started to implement some of the changes. And I did get rid of my, that was scary as hell.
I'm sure it is. So,
and now I had always done something like that in my business. I never went after quantity. So, you know, I don't have a huge customer list. I have less than 50 total customers, most of which are customers I may see a couple of times a year. And thinking when I last did my list, I've only got 15 on what my quote unquote managed service plan is.
Oh yeah.
So I've, you know, always kind of, in a sense, focused on my big pumpkins, but it was neat to hear in person, live, some of the things that I had read about in the book. And you can hear, and listen, I know he's a professional speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's, you know, on stage, but I think even beyond that, you could see it and you can hear it, that not only did he, you know, want to get across the points he was making in a lively, entertaining way, you could tell he lived it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, and he wasn't just blowing smoke up, you know, somebody's arse.
Yeah.
It was, you know, this worked for him and he believed it. And by golly, it was something that we needed to hear. So that was good.
Yeah. In the Profit First book, he talks about a lot of his, I guess, real world experiences, which also kind of equates to the Pumpkin Plan side of things. I mean, he's definitely lived and breathed it, so, with several of his businesses.
Okay. So any other sessions that you attended that you wanted to make note about, or any other part of the conference you want to discuss?
Of course, seeing the Malware Bytes guys there back again, you know, they're always really awesome to talk to, Michael and Alex. You know, last year, talked to them first time. I mean, come back, and I mean, they're like your best friend. You know, it's like they know who you are. And, you know, they hang out with you the whole time. That's what I really like about this conference is it's very close-knit. You hang out with all the vendors. After all the sessions are done, everybody hangs out afterwards. I mean, I think we're up to like 1 o'clock in the morning every morning hanging out with well, you know, people from the things.
The one you left.
Well, yeah, we had to pack to move to their hotel. But yeah, I mean, we, so yeah, you were up to two, so, or something like that. But Yeah, it was a great fun, you know, hanging out and just running around with everybody and, you know, just talking and talking about our businesses. And, of course, like I said, the vendors are really awesome just to be able to hang out with Michael and stuff too. And
now, are you Malwarebytes users?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we use the TechBench. We sell Malwarebytes more in the residential side of things for our shop. We sell that. Our RMM has built-in antivirus, so we don't sell it there. And I've you know, pushed on him a little bit. I was like, you really need to get this built into the RMM here. You need to talk to them and sell this stuff to them so that we can use it. So,
well, they have the endpoint protection plan. Have you guys looked at that?
I have, but in the past year, our goal is to streamline our business. And the thing holding me back from it is it's another pane of glass. So now we're down to basically three panes of glass. We got Repair Shopper as our PSA tool, ticketing, invoicing, estimates, all that stuff. We've got SolarWinds MSP as our RMM, and then we've got Datto as our backup and disaster recovery. So that's basically the three panes of glass all of our techs live out of. You know, as a fewer techs, it's not as big a deal. But if you have, you know, 15 panes of glass like we used to have, it becomes a nightmare to train new technicians that come in. It's like, where's this at? Where's the backup for this customer? Oh, it's over in this system. I mean, it just becomes a nightmare. So, you know, trying to slim down those panes of glass to, you know, two or three, and you'll never get to one, but to, you know, get it down to two or three is amazing. It helps with efficiency with the techs. They know where to go to get everything. So that's why I'm really pushing him to get us, you know, get that integrated. So.
That is true. And that was something I told them that I did try it last year and I had to bail. You know, there's some good on it, but you know, I too use SolarWinds and Datto. So two out of three, we'll have to chat about those later.
Yeah.
Love that. But yep, Malwarebytes. I use the tool set all the time. Do you guys carry that on your USB sticks or something to test the stations and things?
Yeah. We use it at customers all the time in the field and in the shop. We also use Tech Suite to automate a lot of things. So we've actually integrated it into Tech Suite as one of the pieces of software in the procedure. So, you know, that way it's all integrated. And then we kind of have.
Are you using that just in the shop or are you using that for your business clients?
Business clients too. I mean, for cleaning up viruses or just checking a hard drive real quick or battery on a laptop. I mean, Tech Suite's awesome. So, I mean, you get just instant information.
So you're just pushing that out as needed or did you find a way to roll that into your RMM?
Basically, I am looking. We talked to Michael and stuff and they have a way to possibly with the command line utilities and stuff to roll that into the RMM, so I haven't dug into that yet. Going to maybe like run a one-off scan, you know, once a month or something. But thing about it is we have basically an FTP site that we have password protected for all of our techs. And if we need to remote in somebody's system, we just download the small, you know, it's like 30 meg Tech Suite EXE, launch it, and then all of our tools are there to do everything. Even, you know, it's like a Swiss Army knife, so we can run them automated. We can run them one-off. So that's kind of how we get it, you know, for our MSP clients, if we're remoting in or just one-off clients or whatever. So,
okay. All right. Sounds good. And sounds like we're going to have some more conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we did talk off air, folks, about Freedom Voice.
Yeah.
You may find me being a VoIP reseller soon.
Yeah. It'd be awesome.
All right. So if we had to boil down, I guess, the one thing that you love the most about this last weekend, what would it be?
That's kind of hard to do. Like a lot of things about it. I mean, the best part about it is seeing everybody back from last year, all the technicians, all the podcasters, all the vendors. You get to hang out with everybody, really close-knit conference, you know, and like the big conferences. So that's what we really go for is just to be able to, you know, hang out with everybody. You know, all that knowledge rubs off, you know, in those times. So.
You know what? I don't know that that's been said enough. In that particular way where you get to see people the entire conference.
Yes.
You're at those big conferences and you meet somebody, it may be a stroke of luck for you to find them again.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
As here, you know that you're going to see them unless you're in a breakout session and you know, are breaking out and stuff. You know, you're going to see them at least five more times that day. If not, you know, every day for the weekend. And of course, as long as you can find the right room on the sixth floor, you can hang out with them after the event. So that is something to be said where you know you have time to see people, talk to people. And I think that's what's really great about this type of conference and should be so in the future unless we, you know, keep doubling in size every year.
Yeah, exactly. There's quite a few more people this year. So,
yep, it was. All right, folks. Well, I think that's going to do it for our recap with Jason Miller. The week after the IT Owners Compass in Chicago. And once again, I do want to give a big thank you to Lori Tishnai and Matt Rodella for putting on the event for us this year. And I had nothing to do with it this year. So all the praise goes to them. And Jason Miller was a presenter two times this year.
Yes.
And I'm sure people are excited and you'll be getting some, I don't know, some phone calls, some Facebook messaging. Hey, buddy, can you help me out?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, in both my sessions, if anybody needs help, feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to help. So,
all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end off this show. And thank you for downloading and listening. Please stay tuned for more upcoming After the Conference podcast. I'll be interviewing some other people that were there. And of course, you can always go to podnuts.com and listen to the other great shows on the Podnuts Network. And until next time, holla.